Journalists at ProPublica are investigating how Secretary Kristi Noem uses public money. Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Today for our Dakota Political Junkies conversation, we're talking with Patrick Lally from Sioux Falls Live. But first, let's get an update on some national reporting with Justin Elliott. He's with ProPublica. Now, ProPublica's most recent report says there is a pattern to how Kristi Noem funded an advertising campaign in South Dakota and her most recent ad campaign as the head of the Department of Homeland Security. Now, both campaigns feature Noem, and both campaigns use the same agency that helped her win re-election as South Dakota's governor. And both deals have raised questions about ethics and collusion in spending taxpayer dollars.
My colleague and I at ProPublica have actually been reporting on Secretary Noem for a while, dating back to the summer when we wrote a story about an unusual payment that she got when she was governor to a personal company she'd set up in Delaware from one of her political groups. And so after we published that, we started reporting on her as DHS secretary pretty much full time for the last several months. And that's how we found out about this new ad campaign that was shot at Mount Rushmore back in October.
So it's the second day of the government shutdown. She's got she's filming a commercial. Mount Rushmore is in the background there. That aesthetic and the things that she is saying are pretty familiar to South Dakotans because of her Freedom Works Here campaign. And so is the strategy group. We've heard of them before. Remind us who exactly they are.
The strategy group is a firm that's actually based out in Columbus, Ohio, that does advertising work mainly for like Republican political campaigns around the country. And most relevantly here, they were the firm that then Governor Noem brought in to do the campaign advertising for her reelection campaign back in 2022. And then, as you know, after she got reelected, very soon after, they were given a South Dakota state contract, ended up being for around $9 million to make these Freedom Works ads, the ones where then Governor Noem was dressed as like a dentist and a state trooper, telling people to move to the state during COVID. And as you remember, I'm sure there was a big controversy around the circumstances of how that contract went to the strategy group, which was, you know, a firm that had worked for then Governor Noem for
and
her campaign.
We accept most out-of-state professional licenses.
Wait, aren't you Governor Noem?
Yes, I am. It's my first day.
South Dakota, freedom works here.
Yeah. So on the federal level, as we look at this new campaign, which is intended to, her office told you, combat misinformation, get the word out about what's happening at the southern border, how to come here, in quotations, the right way. What is open about that contract at the federal level, and what don't we know? And really, why don't we know the things that we don't have the information on?
When my colleague and I were looking into this, we were just sort of stunned by how direct the parallels are in this situation to what happened in South Dakota a couple of years ago. The one big difference is the amount of money involved. We're now talking about a $220 million taxpayer-funded ad contract from the Department of Homeland Security. And what we found and reported last week is that some of this money secretly has been going to the very same firm, the strategy group, to shoot these ads starring, you know, now Secretary Noem running on TV stations around the country. The reason it's been secret is that most of the money in this giant DHS ad contract actually went to a Delaware LLC that had been created like literally just days before this giant contract went out. As far as we can tell, it's not a real company. There's no office. There's no employees that we can find. And so what we reported, what we were able to figure out is that actually the strategy group, the same Ohio firm, is working on these ads. They sent a crew of people out to Mount Rushmore last month to shoot that ad. We still don't know exactly how much money they're getting, but the relationship between Secretary Noem and the strategy group has only grown really closer since she was governor. The strategy group has continued to work with her top aide, Corey Lewandowski, and I think most significantly for the current situation, the top spokesperson at the Department of Homeland Security is actually now married to the CEO of the strategy group, a guy named Ben Yoho. The contracting experts we spoke to said the rules are very clear that government contracts are supposed to go out, you know, totally impartially. And you know, how could it be a coincidence that of all the companies in the country that could do this work, at least some of this contract is going to the one that is closely tied to Secretary Noem.
So Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs Tricia McLaughlin says, I don't know anything about this. I recuse myself from this because of my marriage. My marriage and my work are separate, and I keep them separate. What do you make of that?
Yeah, so right. As you say, Tricia McLaughlin, the spokesperson for DHS, I spoke to her last week, and she told me she wasn't involved in this because she's married to the CEO of the strategy group. DHS, though, declined to answer most of the big questions here. The main one being, like, how did it happen that the strategy group ended up apparently becoming a subcontractor for this work? And also the other big question is, why did DHS give a more than $100 million ad contract to a Delaware LLC that had been created just days before it was awarded the contract? My colleague and I spoke to three or four government contract lawyers, people that have worked in this field, and they said that was quite unusual and raised questions about whether perhaps it's a way to avoid public disclosure about who's actually doing the work. Because when you look this up in public databases, the only thing you see is this contract went to this Delaware LLC. It doesn't tell you what happened to the money after that.
So there's a regular process designed to prevent waste and corruption in the federal government and federal spending of taxpayer dollars. Has that been bypassed?
It has. So when this ad campaign first rolled out, and the Mount Rushmore ad is the latest in a series that started back in February, March period, DHS said that they were skipping the normal competitive bidding process by which, you know, taxpayer money and these government contracts usually go out. And they invoked the emergency at the southern border that President Trump has declared as a justification for skipping the normal competitive bidding process. And so this contract went very quickly to this kind of mysterious Delaware LLC and another company. That was their justification. They also said, by the way, in response to our question, that they feel that this ad campaign has worked. Secretary Noem in the ads is telling illegal immigrants to leave the country and not come here. DHS told us that they believe that has worked.
You cross the border illegally, we'll find you. Break our laws, we'll punish you. Harm American citizens, there will be consequences. But if you come here the right way, your American dream can be as big as these endless skies. From President Trump and me, welcome home.
Importantly, I think, to South Dakota listeners, is a part in your investigation where you say when she was governor of South Dakota, you have people from state government saying that she put pressure on people to choose Ben Yoho's group to do the Freedom Works Here campaign. Tell us about that. Help us understand that more.
That's right. So as folks may remember, there was a lot of great reporting done in South Dakota a couple of years ago. There was legislative hearings around the circumstances of how that contract went to the strategy group. It was seemingly taken away at the last minute from a South Dakota firm that had apparently come up with the concept for those ads at the time. We do have some new reporting on that. We were told that Governor, you know, then Governor Noem had personally sent out the message to her staff and that she wanted the strategy group to get this contract. DHS, by the way, said that is not true, but that's our reporting. The other new detail that we have about that episode is that some of that money, South Dakota taxpayer money that went to the strategy group, we found the strategy group in turn actually made a payment to one of Noem's top aides that year, 2023, a woman named Madison Sheehan, who was, you know, part of then Governor Noem's inner circle in South Dakota, and she is now the number two at ICE, at DHS. So some of that money actually made kind of a round trip from South Dakota government coffers to the strategy group and then back to one of Noam's aides personally.
What's next for this? You said the response from DHS is, you know, none of this is true and they're not pleased with the reporting. Is there someone who investigates this? What are you hearing from people about what should happen next? I guess what I'm really getting at here, too, is this just a legal loophole that Governor Kristi Noem has found? You know, this is the right way to do things. People just don't understand how it works because nobody has exploited that before or used that, method to pay for things before. Or is there something that needs to be investigated here, some kind of congressional oversight? Help us sort that out, if you would, please.
That's a great question. I mean, so to the question of whether the rules are violated here, the answer to that is we really don't know, and they may well have been. There's very strict federal government contracting rules that say you can't, you know, basically in lay terms, like you can't just give contracts to your friends because you want to. Like this process has to be done impartially. So we still don't know in this case what exactly Secretary Noem's role was, if any, in directing some of this money ultimately to the strategy group. But that's still an open question. And the experts we spoke to said that the Homeland Security has an inspector general that could, and they said should, look into this. Congress should look into it. And I think, you know, from my point of view, my colleague and I are still very much reporting on this and also looking back at Secretary Noem's tenure as South Dakota governor more broadly, because we have this sense that the full story there really hasn't been told. So if anyone has anything that we should be looking at, please get in touch. You can find my contact information at the bottom of all our stories at ProPublica.
That's Justin Elliott with ProPublica. Now, some of the local reporting Elliott referenced in his piece is by Patrick Lally with Sioux Falls Live. So I asked Lally if he thought the two ad campaigns connected.
I think the MO, for lack of a better term, is the same, and the people are the same. So in Freedom Works Here, it involved Ben Yoho and his company that he was CEO of, and then they created layers of other companies to make the bid to do the Freedom Works Here project, and there's more behind that. But in the case of the Department of Homeland Security ads, they did basically the same thing where they created these different companies, layers of companies, and then got the bid in kind of a it's not that hard to figure out. I mean, obviously, ProPublica figured it out there, and I figured it out here, to try and distance the relationships between Ben Yoho and the eventual company that would do the work. But in all, it's at the federal level, it was a no-bid contract because they called it an emergency. Here, they took bids. They just ignored them all. And they already the deal was done months before the contract was awarded. And there's a paper trail for that. But
what was the governor's – when you reported that, the governor's office refuted that or said, yes,
no,
that's how we did it?
They just didn't say anything about it.
They did not respond.
Right.
Okay. There was no comment.
Right. There was the commenting on Freedom Works Here stopped pretty quick once I started digging into it. And I actually did get to talk to Ben Yoho one time, and I got his phone number from documents that are, you know, part of this, and called him, and he picked up the phone, and I said, "Hi, I'm Patrick Lally from Sioux Falls Live," and blah, 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 blah. And he said, "You know what? I'm going to check on that, and I'm going to call you back," and I've never been able to get him again. So that's about as close as I've gotten to a comment from anybody involved in this.
Is anything that was done with the contract here in South Dakota for Freedom Works Here illegal through South Dakota state law?
You can make a case for collusion. It's not a red line. You know, it's a lot of dotted lines. But I did write a piece called Kristi Noem and the Culture of Collusion, and that kind of lays out that process. But it all comes back to the attorney general, and it would have been a judgment call on his part. And, you know,
have you asked him?
We've had conversations about it. it's like I said, it's not a hard line. It would be a judgment call. I would say that there are questions about the creative work that was clearly lifted from a proposal by Lawrence and Schiller, a company that's
allegedly.
I can say clearly. You can say allegedly.
You have no evidence that it was lifted. You have noticed similarities in the proposal was submitted by Lawrence and Schiller, and similarities between what was run by. It is possible they both came up with the same concept separately.
I would say that would be impossible, given the images that are in the Lawrence and Schiller proposal. And that I was able to obtain that's not public. So in that process, there were seven companies, I think, that submitted proposals. The only proposal that's public is the one that wins. The rest of them are all sealed, mm-hmm. not just to the public, to everybody. Mm-hmm. So somehow they got a hold of that. And there is an image there that's a particularly striking of, well, the whole concept is in the Lawrence and Schiller
of
proposal.
Of the governor taking on
yes.
the costumes, the uniforms yeah. of
yeah.
working class people yeah. and saying, we need you to come do this because... And that brings us to your timeline, which when you were making the case for that, you are looking back into December when Ben Yoho with Strategy Group is part of a memo with Steve Westra and the intelligence company about the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Before Lawrence and Schiller would have ever seen this. And so mm-hmm. that's part of the timeline. We'll direct people to the timeline
mm-hmm.
As well. But that's part of what you're looking at to say.
For sure. So there's a company, that WPA Intelligence,
mm-hmm.
who was involved in the initial research to do the Freedom Works Here.
Mm-hmm.
They got a contract to do that. And for some reason, Ben Yoho was looped in. This is before there's even an RFP.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's nothing to bid on yet when they...
And Lawrence and Schiller was not looped in.
No.
Okay.
No. It's Ben Yoho, Steve Westra, and two executives from WPA, which is a Texas firm, I believe. In that research, it basically lays out what they want to do. Like, mm-hmm. and it's that language in that memo is almost verbatim in the RFP. Hmm. So Yoho knew what the RFP was. He also knew he was going to get it. We have to remember that he had been the consultant for then-Governor Kristi Noem's reelection campaign. So they were all tight. Yoho also is affiliated at some level with Corey Lewandowski, who is alleged to have had a romantic relationship with Kristi Noem.
Which they deny. Vehemently.
They deny. And but Yoho and Lewandowski sat together at the inauguration. I mean, that could be totally coincidental, right? But they were – Lewandowski is involved in the campaign. Yoho is involved with the campaign. They got this – $5 million contract to do this work. They didn't even really put in a proposal. It was a couple of pieces of paper that didn't have any of this in it. And they end up getting the contract with Lawrence and Schiller's creative. So,
and taxpayer paid for by the taxpayers
right.
of South Dakota.
The yeah. first part's her political campaign. She can hire whoever she wants.
Right, yeah.
And that's what they do.
That's
they,
key here is that it's taxpayer money at some point. And now it's federal taxpayer money with the
yes.
current campaign.
That's
and
the
that's
parallel.
The ProPublica piece. So we're kind of giving people a little background.
Yep.
We bring back, we end up at the same place, which is the current campaign, which is also, she said, is urgent and effective, which is what she said about Freedom Works Here. These are urgent campaigns. They're effective campaigns. She says they make a difference. But we're asking about how they're funded.
Right. And the fact that it's a professional services contract, so there's not the restrictions that you would expect on a contract to build a road or something in terms of who gets the contract. It's a judgment call. But my sources tell me, and I have the documentation to show, that they didn't even try to make a presentation. They have a ranking system to evaluate these proposals, and Go West, which was the shadow company they set up, was last or near the bottom in every category. By any objective measure, it wasn't even a bid, but they got the contract for $5 million.
So, does the ProPublica piece shed any new light on that?
You know, they mention in there the degree to which the governor herself influenced the decision, and there's certainly evidence of that in the conversations that I have been privy to within the governor's Office of Economic Development. It was known. It was sent down from on high to pick Go West. That's been very clear since the beginning.
What happens next? What do you want to see happen next?
Well, in South Dakota, I would like to see them have a legitimate bid process. You can say that it's professional services and therefore does not require a low bid, but there should at least be a minimum standard. I think that this was, you know, this is cronyism at its finest. I mean, there's just no way around it. The governor funneled $5 million of what became $8.5 million of taxpayer money to her political friends. There's just no way around that. And that's cronyism. And if you're going to, there's at some measure, you at least have to try. And they didn't even try. They knew they were going to get this money. They were involved with the process since before it was a bid. So, you know, I think Lee Schoenbeck said in the executive board meetings that they did have in this process, which was, you didn't have to do all this. Why did you do all this? You can do whatever you want. But I guess what didn't happen with the e-board, the executive board, was that then Representative Chris Carr from Sioux Falls, who has been a critic of this process because of its lack of transparency and waste of taxpayer money, he tried during the executive board session to get them to bring Steve Westra in, who was then the head of the GEOD. And Hugh Bartles, who at the time was the Speaker of the House, and so he was chair of that committee, said, I think we've talked about this enough, gaveled it out, and that was the end of it. I think that Hugh Bartles owed the people of South Dakota at least that. At least try to find out what happened. Try to find out if it's corruption. When you just turn a blind eye, you are, in fact, a party to that corruption. And I don't know how you could do that. And everybody else fell in line, which is why I call it the culture of collusion in South Dakota, because nobody wants to say anything. Let's remember what this starts with. Okay, this does start with an allegation in the Daily Mail, a tabloid, about the relationship between Kristi Noem and Corey Lewandowski. And that's fine. They can do whatever they want. But then when it becomes an influence on how we spend taxpayer money, that's a legitimate question. And one that was never fully cleared up. And I think that there's a lot, I feel like that's changing a little bit with the governor's departure. There's been more examination. I just heard a story on SDPB this morning about, Taffy Howard wants more examination of the credit card spending, which was another story that the Dakota Scout got the documents, and I worked with them on that to examine all the data. That has attracted a lot of attention because it's an abuse of taxpayer money for her personal gain. There's no way you can look at those documents and see it as anything else. What I would say is that our system in South Dakota is archaic. You can go to Iowa and go to their website and you can see every expenditure for every political campaign, the governor's office, down to the dollar, online, up to date. When the Dakota Scout got these documents, could have just as well been a bunch of receipts in a shoebox. They were just scanned receipts in PDFs. And there's no way to know if they're really even complete. It's a mess. It's an accounting nightmare, and it has absolutely no oversight in it whatsoever. And that has been the culture of South Dakota. that we're all good people, so it doesn't matter. We don't need to look. I feel like that's changing a little bit, obviously with all the criminal charges against state employees, but that's little fish. Little fish. And yeah, they're criminal actions, and you know, good on Attorney General Jackley for trying to root that out. But you know, he tried to get a whistleblower law passed 2 years ago. What got shot down? I mean, everything that the Attorney General has tried to do to put more safeguards in place has been just poo-pooed, shot down, and kicked to the curb. I don't understand that. You can be you can be whatever political persuasion you are, but don't you want to know, and do you not want to have transparency in the finances of the state of South Dakota? How can anybody be against that? This is what I don't understand. And this is what comes back to Freedom Works here, which is they just gave up. They abdicated responsibility that they have as elected officials to the state of South Dakota. Every member of that legislature, every single one, short of Chris Carr and maybe Lee Schoenbeck, because they just turned a blind – they, in fact, Hugh Bartle said, I think we've talked about this enough. Bye. See ya. We're done. I that's just bad government. If the people of South Dakota don't ask for more, they're not going to get more. And that really, because I'm a good government guy. At the base of it, my whole motivation is transparency in government and a responsibility to the people to be fiscally responsible with our resources, period.
Political analysis there from Patrick Lally with Sioux Falls Live. I put a link on our website to Lally's reporting and to Elliot's reporting with ProPublica, so you can find everything in one place there. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this topic. Send me an email, lori.walsh@sdpb.org. I'll spell that for you. Lori is L-O-R-I dot Walsh, W-A-L-S-H, at sdpb.org. That's our conversation for today. We hope that it served you. From all of us here at SDPB, I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.